Well, I'm still feeling the effects of lunch. We buffeted our body at a Chinese food buffet. Really the only place we could find to get into for lunch. But it worked out great, and granddaughter said, "Oh, this is my favorite place. This is where I love to go." So moms may not have been as happy, but the children were. So they could eat ice cream and anything. So we buffeted our body instead of buffeted our body. But it's been a great day. Good to see all the moms and see the joy and the big smiles on their faces. Tonight I wanted to talk a little bit. We talked about Mary this morning and the faith that she had. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about the Apostle Paul and a secret that he learned. It's a secret that we must learn. And, as I was thinking about Paul's life, I'm going to hit like three different areas of Scripture. I'm going to start in Acts with just a short statement that Jesus makes to Ananias. And I want you to think about Paul's life. Oftentimes we get overwhelmed with life, though. Life can overwhelm us. We do get overwhelmed. And sometimes it just overcomes us. Debbie and I were talking the other night. She is a part of this group on Facebook that's the Women of Faith or Women of the Church. And she saw a message on there to pray for a family in Arkansas whose house was hit by the tornado. And this week, they lost their son in an awful accident. And when I hear things like that, I go, wow, how do you cope? How do you find your way through those kind of scenarios, through those kind of situations? But I think Paul teaches us and shows us the way to do that. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 15, the Lord says to Ananias to go to Paul, because Paul's this guy that's been tearing up the country, persecuting Christians, doing what he thought was the right thing to do based on what he knew of the Scripture. And he was a student of the Old Testament Torah and the law. And he thought this man was a blasphemer. So he was going after Christians, and he was doing it with the right heart, but he hadn't accepted Jesus as Messiah. He didn't see it. And so Jesus says, "I'm going to use this guy." And Ananias, of course, is concerned, but he tells Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel." And look at this statement. Oftentimes I think we don't notice this. "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." You ever thought about it? He's going to show Paul. What if that was your mission statement? What if that's what God said? "Okay, I'm going to show you how much you're going to suffer for my name." How would we approach that? How would we accept that? But that's exactly what happened. And I want to jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to start down in verse 6. And here's Paul speaking. He says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So there's this glory that he refers to that we as Christians carry. It should be within us. And it's something that's in our hearts. And it makes light shine out of us. We are light bearers. And I love what Paul is saying here. And then he makes this statement, and this is the frailty of humanness. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." And that's something that we have to consider every time we walk out the door. That God's power is shown, not our power. It's not by our goodness. It's not by our anything. It's by His power that light is shown, that we are light bearers. And he goes, "We are hard pressed on every side." And he begins to talk about some of this pain and some of this stuff that he has experienced. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed. Feel that way sometimes? Stuff going on in the world? But look what he says. But not in despair. Persecuted. But not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal body. Look at what he says and connect that to Acts. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. He goes down, go down to verse 16 and look what he says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Do you feel that way sometimes? Just feel overwhelmed and just kind of lose heart? But here's Paul talking about all these things that take place. He even goes into more detail in some of the other letters about the persecution and the things that he experiences. But he says, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly, key word right there, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Is that happening? Is that happening in your spirit, in your relationship with Christ? Is that renewal taking place? And look what he says. I love his phraseology here. For our light and momentary troubles. Shipwreck, light and momentary troubles. Beaten, light and momentary troubles. Stoned and left outside the city for dead, light and momentary troubles. Is that the way we perceive our trouble? Is that the way we look at life? But look at what he says about these light and momentary troubles. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Glory. An eternal glory that makes anything that we face, it pales in comparison to the glory that we are even receiving now. Because we are temples of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God dwells in these temples of flesh, these jars of clay. And so he says, so we fix our eyes, not on what's seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I want you to jump over to Philippians chapter 4. Well, actually, I'm going to jump into Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to understand, I want you to try to get a glimpse of Paul's perspective and his attitude about life. Because it's an attitude I think we need to embrace. And he learns a secret. And it's one of the most important secrets that we can learn. And he reveals how to learn it. But he says in verse 20 of Philippians 3, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Oh, what a hope we have. Oh, what a hope we have. And then he says, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. Does this sound like a guy who's depressed? Does this sound like a guy who's down because of everything he's been through? No. No, not at all. He says, my joy and my crown. This is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. And then he makes some exhortations to some people that he knows. And then in verse 4, these are words you've heard over and over and over again, and we preach on them because they are so powerful. But I want you to understand, I believe these are the steps that Paul took. These are the things that Paul did that made him understand the secret. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. always. And I ask myself, is that the way I live? Do I rejoice in the Lord always? And he doesn't just say it once. He says, and I say it again, rejoice. And sometimes I just don't see that in the lives of Christians. I don't see that joy. It's not a giddiness. It's a characteristic of Christians, rejoicing is. It's even more than joy. It's something amazing. And then he says this, and this is a real challenge because we deal with a world that is not gentle. But he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Not to some, not to those who deserve it, but to all. Who does that sound like? Sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? He was gentle. He was gentle with people. He says, and this is a promise, the Lord's near. He's always with us. He's always there. He's always ready to minister to us because we have that gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, here's probably the most challenging statement Paul makes. He says, do not be anxious about anything. And every time I read that, I go, yeah. You get anxious about so many things. What are you doing? I mean, he makes it very clear. He says, do not be anxious about anything. And we might say, oh, well, you know, what about this going on? Or what about this? What about what's happening overseas? And what about, and he says, don't be anxious about it. Don't be anxious about anything. Because what does anxiety do? It creates problems for us. It even affects us emotionally and physically. Anxiety is not a healthy thing. Concern is different. But anxiety, being anxious and trying to try to do things that you can't do anything about, or to be so worried about things you can't do anything about. You know, I was talking this morning about children. Sometimes children go their own way. It's not what you want for them. And it creates the anxiety. But God is saying, let your children go into my hands. You planted seeds, I will grow them. You water it, you fertilize it, you be gentle, and let me work on them. Sometimes he works on them through circumstance. Sometimes they go into difficult circumstances, places we don't want to see them go. They hit the bottom. And I think of the prodigal and the father who says, he knows his son's making the wrong decision, knows where his son is headed, and he lets him go. And he watches him probably as he walks away, probably with tears in his eyes. Sadness over those things, yes. Anxiety, I think that's what God wants. He says, I am the Father. Let them go and let me do my work. Because sometimes when we try to reel them back in, we build more walls. And that's one of the hardest things we do, is letting our children go. He says, let them go. Don't be anxious. Let me do my work. And sure enough, that prodigal hits bottom. And the only place he has to go is up. Fix your eyes on what is unseen. And that's what began. He says, I just need to go back to my family. And he goes back, and the father is there waiting to do what? Wrap his arms. Not to say, you did that, you shouldn't have done that, and not to say, I told you so. Sometimes the circumstances of life are the best teacher for our children. Sometimes that's just the way it is. And God, through these circumstances, shows them, hey, it's not the way you want to live. There's a better way to live. But we need to wrap our arms around. So he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Present your request to God. Now, what does it say? Does it say anything about what God's going to do with that request? doesn't say, and I will grant your request. Now, there's other places in the scripture that the scriptures say that God will provide and he will do what we ask. But he does those things according to his will and not ours. And that's where we get confused sometimes. Sometimes we think, yeah, he's going to do that because I'm asking to do it. And sometimes he does because that's the kind of father he is. But other times he does it a completely different way and we're going, that's not what I asked for. But he does it for our good. And sometimes it comes in the form of discipline because we're not asking for the right things. And he disciplines us because he loves us and he wants us to share in his holiness. So we present our requests to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And look at what it says happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you think of the word guard, what do you think of? Soldier. Think of our troops, guarding our safety, people that are going to provide protection. And that's what I believe the Holy Spirit does. Stands guard in our heart so that fear won't overtake us. Gives us a sense of peace, knowing that God is right there, like you said, God is near. That he's right there and he will provide exactly what we need. And so he brings his peace and it stands guard in our hearts. And then he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Is that my thinking? Is that the way I think? Those are the questions when I read these texts. That's what I have to ask myself. Is my thinking that way? And oftentimes, through self-discipline, I say, no, I really need to change the way I'm thinking. What are the things you're dealing with in life? How do you attach this to what you're coping with, to what you're dealing with? How do you think about what's excellent in those kind of situations? Sometimes it's hard. And then he says in verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. So, have you ever understood or noticed that, man, this is a plan. This is what we do to learn the secret. Because he goes on down and he's talking to the church at Philippi. And he says in verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. This is a church that loved Paul and apparently they've been able to make some connection with him. He says, you've been concerned, but you've had no opportunity to show it. I don't know what all that circumstance is about. I'm sure historians have something to say about that. I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content. Many of you sitting in here have taught me how to be content. I have learned by watching you in your content. I have learned from you like we learned from Paul about being content. And he says, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret. Aha, the secret. I have learned the secret. Wasn't just told to him, he learned it. And I think that's part of our process in our faith walk as well. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, well fed, hungry, living in plenty, or in want. Why? Because I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The source of joy, the source of an anxiety-free life, the source of hope, the source of positive thinking is Jesus. Simple, plain and simple, it's Jesus. But I believe these are some of the steps that Paul says we must take in order to learn the secret of being content. So are you rejoicing? Are you being gentle? Do you understand that the Lord is near? Does that cause fear in you, or does that cause you to have great hope? I think those are questions we have to ask ourselves. And he says, give your anxiety, give it over to me, and my peace will come over you in a way that you can't even understand. What a beautiful statement from a man who has been through more than we could ever imagine. Like I said this morning, these are not comic book heroes. These were flesh and blood people who lived their lives through pain and suffering, but spoke this way. Is that the way I speak, or am I constantly talking about my pain and my conflict and my struggle and stuff? He addresses it, but he addresses it through the eyes of Jesus, that it's something to glory in, and that they are light and momentary afflictions. It's hard to talk that way when we're hurting, isn't it? It's hard to say, oh, God is good, and he's going to take care of me, and I know God's got a plan in this, and he will work it through when we are sick, when we're struggling in health, or one of our children is struggling. It's hard to say those words. But I think those are the words that need to rise up in us and that need to come out of our heart. Say, thank you, God, for this life and for all that you've done in it. And through whatever pain and suffering, I will glorify you. I will not fix my eyes on the things that are here. I will fix them on things above where you are seated. That's really hard in this world today. It's really hard. So, Paul shows us how he learned the secret. Have I learned the secret? I think I'm still learning. I think it's part of my journey that I'm still learning the secret of contentment. And sometimes when I try to take control in my life, that's when it gets messed up more. But I found that when I acknowledge it and when I say, man, Lord, I blew that one. I messed that one up big time. God brings glory out of it. He shows me things that I could not see. So whatever you're going through right now, if you're feeling anxiety, pray. Make petition before the Lord. And do it with thanksgiving. I don't think you can take out any section of that. I don't think you can just say, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your request. I think that thanksgiving is really important, that we give thanks to God. Sometimes I'll pray and I'll say, thank you, Father, for what you've done. But thank you, Father, also for what you're going to do. Do we have that kind of vision where we look ahead? And I think that's a challenge for us every single day. So I hope that as we labor together in the kingdom, that we continue to learn this secret and that we have the understanding that I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Absolutely anything that this world can throw at. We stand because of His strength, not ours. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, thank you for the privilege to just share from your word. Father, thank you for the life of Paul. Thank you for the life of Mary that give us examples of real flesh and blood people who fought the good fight and who finished the course and received that crown. Father, we too want to fight the good fight and finish the course. Mm-hmm. We want to receive that crown of glory. And Father, we want to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Mm-hmm. We want to be like him. So help us, mold us, make us into his image so that we can be light bearers in him. Thank you, Father, for the time that you've given us this evening. We offer this prayer in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If anyone has a need, please come as we stand.